love. All right, we're going to do this. We actually, Sweet Sunny, I led worship Sunday with here with, and we did, we actually opened with this Sunday at church, and we're going to open with it every week because I just believe that the Lord, can I tell you this really cool story? Ugh, I'm diverting. But I, and some of you, this might freak you out, but I hope not. I've probably freaked you out anyway last week, so now you just know. It's just joy. But y'all, listen, oh, Deshelle, you better get ready for this, girl. Last week, when, you know, we got up and we said that we're what we're fixing to say, and my friend Stacy Parker was sitting right here. Summer can attest this. Summer, they were sitting right here on the front row. And you know how your phones, you know, like you have to go through a password, then you have to go to the music, then you got to turn it on? Listen, when we stood up and we started saying, "For he is good," Stacy Parker's phone started playing, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere." She said she went to grab it and it got louder. So y'all, I said the roof, I'm waiting for the roof to go. But hey, that was confirmation that he hears us say, "There's no agenda but your agenda, and we're going where you flow." Amen. So let's read this. Let me read this, and we're going to say this in a second. The trumpeters and the singers perform together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpet, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices and praised the Lord with these words, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord, so much that the priests could not continue their service because the cloud, and let me tell you what that cloud is because I did a little research. It is a nimbus cloud. Do you know what a nimbus cloud is? Ask your children. They should know. A nimbus cloud is a thunder cloud full of rain, ready to drop. Could we even stand it if the nimbus cloud of glory dropped in this place? For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. This is the temple of God, where two or three are gathered, and there's many more than that today. Where two or three are gathered, he is there. So together, we're going to say this. Get ready. I'm waiting for the walls to ignite in flames. It could be today. Ready? He is good. His faithful love endures forever. One more time. He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Holy Spirit, you truly are welcome here, God. May the nimbus cloud of your glory reside over this place as I know it does, as I feel your presence just hovering. Have your way. May your word go forth in power. I call things that are dead to come to life. I call for ears to hear, God. Ears to hear. My ears being the first. I want to listen to the words you have for us this morning. God, make us ready. Make us moms that are burning with the power, the presence, and the fire of God Almighty. You are welcome in this place, for you are good and your faithful love endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise his name. Well, if you were here last week or you've listened to the podcast, we talked a lot about fire, and this is one of my go-to books. It's I think it's on the resource table. It's called Secrets of the Secret Place. It's a really very short chapters, but it's all about the secret place being that time that you go spend with the Lord. And I turned to this probably on Tuesday, and it was the chapter on the secret of buying gold. I've read this book through about two or three times, and it's underlined. But I read this, and I thought, wow. So I just want to, as a exclamation point for last week, we talked about the fire. One thing I probably didn't bring up, and I wanted to, God brought it to my memory with, you know, there's not only hurricanes happening, but there's wildfires in the West, wildfires. And I just started thinking about all these things that are going on in our world. And I just felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, Joy, I want my body to look at this not with physical eyes, not with the natural eye, but I want my body to look at this through a spiritual lens. The fires and the hurricanes are coming. What happens, y'all? They are changing landscapes. They're changing landscapes. And that is what God is wanting to happen in the hearts of his believers. He's wanting us to allow the fire of his spirit, the thunderous presence of the latter rain, to change landscapes in our hearts, right? So that we don't think the same as the world thinks, so that we don't mother the same, so that we don't love others the way that the world says. We look at it through the lens of Jesus. Change in our landscape. So that's something the fire does. It changes. It sweeps through and it burns away things that are not. This hurricane came through and it took down everything that could be shaken. That's kind of what fire and trials and storms do to us. They sweep through and they get rid of everything that's not standing on the immovable power and presence of Jesus. So when I read this, I just thought of that in that lens that he says in this book, the fire has a way of making you a doer of the word and not just a hearer. You become desperate for a word from God. And then when it comes, you cling to it. That rhema we talked about last week. You cling to it like it's your very life source. When the fire hits your life, your concern is not whether your neighbor is looking into the mirror of the word and then forgetting about it. Praise God. Your concern is primarily that you look into the word and not forget. But then something amazing happens when you share with others how the fire of the word mirrored your own shortcomings and how you became a doer of the word in the midst of the fire. Your witness will have a profound effect upon your fire hydrants or your hearers. They will be fed by your witness of what has fed you. The secret place is the only way you'll survive the fire. And the secret of the thing is, God's word flowing into you will not only enable you to survive, it will empower you to overcome and buy eternal treasures. The secret place of God is God's ATM, the place where you gain access to the coffers of heaven. God has great understanding of this powerful little secret, which is why he is merciful enough to send the fire in answer to your prayers. If you will cry out to him from the depths of your being, he will send exactly the right kind of fire you need at this moment in your journey. The fire will press you into the mirror of his word that you might begin to buy the gold of refined character. May the fire that's burning in you, may it push you towards the word so it can transform you. This week we're going to really move into this theme of immovable, our theme, immovable. And a little backstory, I kind of told you how I kind of picked the speakers. The Holy Spirit just kind of leads this thing. Like, I don't really lead it. And so he decides where we're going to go. And I actually have a picture back in, it was actually February 6th. The Lord, I was sitting in my living, on my island, and I had made myself a little egg salad sandwich. And I had my Bible open, and it was actually a really hard day. I had had a really hard conversation with somebody. The first of many. I've had many courageous conversations in the last 6 months. Very, very hard conversation with a friend. And I just was like, God is I'm done, Lord. I really am done. Like, I'm fine. I just want to go watch my kid play softball. I want to go watch Sophie Kate play volleyball and John William kick butt on the football field. I'm good. Me and Todd, I'm good, Lord. I'm good. I'll just sing and lead worship. I'm done. Mom's a sword. Somebody else can take it. I'm just weary. And as I was sitting there, I opened up my Bible, and Anne's got the picture from my journal. He said, you're not only done, but I'm going to go ahead and name next session for you. So this is the verse that I opened to. But resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack. Look at these three words, y'all. Rooted, established, and God said, you will be immovable this session. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world, you do not suffer alone. Holy Spirit spanking right there. And thus, on February 6th, Ann, do we not have that picture? Oh, shoot. Well, it's on my phone, so y'all can come see it at my phone afterwards. I wrote it. I said, okay, we'll go forward. Now, I have no idea what next session is. He hadn't told me yet. So I'm hoping we're going to be here. I don't know what he's doing. I know he's doing something new, something big, y'all, some stuff big coming. I don't know. But right now, we're at Immovable. So that's how I got Immovable, February 6th, after a very courageous conversation. I was ready to throw in the towel, just a little spanking to his daughter. So Immovable, that's why we're called it Immovable. So I told the board, I said, y'all have any hindrances? Is there any red, the Holy Spirit say anything to you? Nope. Talk to my mentors, my spiritual advisors? Nope. Here we go. So we're Immovable. And this scripture is what the Lord gave me. 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is our theme verse. This is the basis of this session. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. This word steadfast, I think of that word as just a sweet, gentle word. I don't know, there's just something soothing to me when you just say steadfast. I would say that about my middle. She's just steadfast. She's just peaceful, just easy. But when I looked at the definition, I always get surprised. This secular dictionary, the meaning of this word steadfast is actually different than I thought. Fixed. Or unchanging. And then in the Greek, in this 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Greek definition of steadfast is a seat. Well seated. Not given to fluctuation or moving off course. So you see, I found that this word steadfast is not merely just it is a posture. Say posture. You're just going to sit down. Man, and then I'm like, well, really, I am going to start praying that for my baby. That she would be just well seated. That her posture would just be seated in Christ, right? That's what the Bible says. So this steadfast, it's this strong word, but it's a posture. So this verse is going to be our session's verse. And there's so much in this verse. And over the next couple weeks, Brittany's going to come next week. And then the week after fall break, I'm going to unpack the rest of the verse. We're going to cut it and splice it into two different sections. And I want to pull out what it's really saying. Because, sometimes people say things and you really got to know that person to know what they're really saying. And all of my leaders are laughing because if you know me, you just got to know what I'm really saying, because I am known to say a lot of things up on this stage that some of you are probably going, oh my gosh, does Joy even know what she's saying? And I'm telling you, I don't, because the Holy Spirit has me in a bubble right now. So usually the things I say, I don't get what I don't, like one session I said, y'all, I about dropped my pants. Now y'all know I didn't really drop my pants. But the meaning behind what I was saying was it was so amazing that I about dropped my pants. So I am known to say things where you just got to know, okay, what is she really meaning? And that's a lot like scripture. Jesus says these things, but he asks us, he invites us to go search it out. We talked a lot about context, and I did say it, and I stand on it. Like, I believe we'd never quote any scripture if we said, oh, that's out of context. Oh, no, that's not in context. Because I believe the rhema gives us the ability and the permission to take a word like Jeremiah 29:11, and when we're in the tough decision, no, we're not the children of Israel who that was written for. But I'm going to take that, God, because it's your word, your spoken word, and I'm going to apply it to this situation. So that rhema, I do believe that we can stand on those words. We can stand on it. But I do believe God invites us in to dig out. Baby, what am I really saying to you? What am I really saying? He's had me in this book, in this the alabaster box, and I'm jumping the gun, but it fits here better than it fit where it was going to go. The Lord has had me talking about just going, remembering that story of the alabaster box and the lady that breaks the perfume on Jesus' feet and washes it. And anybody know Cece Winan? Oh my gosh! When I was at Women of Faith, I traveled with Women of Faith. Cece was on my tour. She rode in the elevator with me all the time. And she wrote that, I wish, I cannot sing it. I wanted to play it, but it's like old. But the alabaster box, you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. Because as I've been talking stuff through with my almost 16-year-old, y'all, God's got me in this weird season. And so I've just been thinking about, you know, just there's a Pharisee spirit in the church today. I'm just going to say it. But see, you know what? You don't know the cost of the oil. You see, you don't know what that child that you're saying is such a bad kid, you don't know what that child lives in and day out. You don't know the cost of the, you don't know what God brought me out of. Let me tell you something. He's brought me out of something over the last few months. So I am even more ready to give him my praise, because you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box. So I want to pour my praise on him like oil. So this concept of the alabaster, he's had me, and I was reading, teaching this sermon to my dog yesterday, and it's in there. So God's saying, I want you to dissect that joy. I want that to be a rhema word for you in this place of your life right now. God's calling you. He'll bring to memory some stories that you, I don't care if it's Daniel and the lion's den, you go dissect it. You go dig in it. You give that story to your kid one morning and Jesus calling for kids and that something pricks your heart, you go home and you start dissecting Daniel and the lion's den, because God might have a rhema word for you. You got to dig it up. There's always a deeper meaning behind things. Matthew 13:44. I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you this week, so just be ready to write a lot. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. It's like a treasure, y'all. You got to go look for it. It was spoken over this ministry by our spiritual prayer advisors. They said, Joy, I'm speaking Moms of Swords as a pioneering ministry. You know how people went out west to look for gold? She said, that's what I believe Moms of Swords is. It's a pioneering. You're going to go look for, God's going to bring something as you guys go look. God's going to bring you more treasure if you go look for it. You can't sit on the couch and expect God to speak to you. Now, he can, and sometimes he does, but you got to take some initiative. You got to find it. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7:25, so I turned my mind to understanding, to investigate and to search out wisdom and the scheme of things and to understand the stupidity. I love the language of the Bible. Thank you for saying stupid. Your kids can say stupid. It's in the Bible. The stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. I want to investigate Proverbs 2:3-4. This is where I am right here in my life. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Man, God, I am crying out for insight in this season in my parenting. Are you anybody else? God, I need you like I've never needed you before. Search him. He says, search me. He says, if you search for me, you'll find me. Moms, don't stop asking. Don't stop searching. Ask him. He's ready to give it to you. He's ready to unveil the treasure. When I search the Greek and the Hebrew of so many of this scripture, let me tell you something, I do drop my pants. Because I'm in awe. I am in awe of what God is saying and how applicable it is to my life. Thousands of years old. And yet we can still, it applies to our life. So I want us to take a couple of weeks to look into this scripture. And as we always do, I want us to look at it through this lens of mothering. God, we're reading this, but man, we want to see. God, I am asking, I asked him this yesterday. I said, God, I'm asking you for a rhema word for me and for every mom that hears this. How this scripture can apply to our lives in this season of mothering. But I want us to work backwards. So we're going to start at the end of verse 58, and we're going to work backwards. So the ending part of verse 58, always abounding, and see, we've already underlined out because I really want you to underline or write those words down. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now, leave that up there just for a second. Now, those two words that fully describe mothering, marriage, life in general, work and toil. Is anybody in a season in your parenting that it is a lot of work and it is a lot of toil? Two words. Now, mothering is a noun. It's a noun. By definition, but I believe it to be a verb. So I'm just going to say it's a verb, even though it's written as a noun. I'm just going to change it, say it's a verb, because I believe it is a verb. Mothering, the definition of mothering, I gave it to you several sessions ago. I'm going to give it to you again because it's applicable here. Mothering is the nurturing of an infant or small child by its mother. So while this might be a noun, it describes a very active role. It's a very active role. And you see, because you don't nurture from the sidelines. You don't get skinny without going to the gym and putting the cupcake down. Right? You don't love your husband without showing him you love him. So it's an active, it's a participation. There is no sideline nurturing that happens. How many of you have friends of your kids that you see? There was probably not a lot of nurturing that went on in that home. Probably a part-time or a sideline mother, which is why I am so impassioned and I am so on fire to empower you to get off of the sidelines, because your children and your children's friends need an active participant. Did you know you can nurture your kids' friends? It's one of my favorite things to do. And I now have an 18-year-old, an 18-year-old boyfriend that I get to nurture. And I'm nurturing him. My husband says, I think you like him more than Sydney. I said, no, I'm just not wasting this time. I am not wasting the time he's in my car or the time he's in my home. He's gonna know. Whether he got it at home or not, it's going to get it in this home. God didn't just give you your kids. He gave you your kids' teammates. Every time I have a Viper spend the night, they know, Miss Joy's coming up here. Put the cell phones down, Snapchat up, we're going to pray, have a devotion. And when we don't do it, y'all, it's been like 5 years, they're like, Miss Joy, you didn't come up and pray with us. You get your kids, friends to nurture. And you may be the only one that's ever done it for them. So get off the sidelines, which is why I am teaching an unpopular message. I'm not giving you permission. I am not telling you you deserve a break today, mama. See, if I said, oh, you go to your bedroom, get the bonbons, turn on Bravo, and check out, I would pack this place out. Now, I know you got a retreat, and it's okay to watch. I'll let the Lord deal with y'all watching Bravo. It's okay. I watch Reba, so here we go. It's not my job, but my message to you, get off the sidelines. Get in the game and nurture the hearts of your children. Mothering is an active role. Work and toil. Mothering is a lot of work. And work here in this verse in the Greek is the word ergon. Again, when you dig in, look at what this is saying. Work, to accomplish. A work or worker accomplishes something. The same usage of this word is found in Matthew 5, verse 16, that in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works, accomplishments, and what? Give glory to you, mom, because you are such a good mom to pour that word in? No. The goal is not that you are great. Hear me say, let me make this really clear. The goal is not to make you great, mom. The goal is that they will see that kid that knows his Bible verses. They will see that kid that is kind to that kid that's getting bullied. They will see that child that is, when everybody looks over somebody, your child goes and sits by him. That is not to say, oh, the Chambleys are so great. Joy is such a great mom. Erin, you have raised such a beautiful child. She's so great. No. Hear me say, it is to make your father's name great. May they see the good work, the good thing you're accomplishing in your home. May they see it and go, God, glory to you. It's for him, it's for his name. So the work that you're doing, it should be accomplishing something. It is not pointless. You should be working in your home to be accomplishing. And let me tell you something, if all you say at the end of the 18 years is my baby is mouthy, my baby is complaining, but my baby knows and has accepted Jesus, praise God, you have done your job. Your work is to accomplish something. The Father wants to look good on your kids. Man, the Father wants to look good on you. You got to keep a goal in mind. Let me ask you, I've asked you this before. What is your goal with that 3-year-old? What is your goal with that 18-year-old? What is your goal with that 6-week-old baby? What's your goal? Can I challenge you to go home today and every one of your babies, and let me tell you, it's all going to look different. Write down one thing that you want to see God accomplish through you in the hearts of your babies. Do you have a family mission statement? Some of you do. What do you want the Chambley family to be known as? What do you want your family? What do you want to accomplish, Mom? Just to get them out of the house? May I survive these 18 years so y'all can get on and be somebody else's problem? Because I'll tell you, if you're here, that's not your goal. If you are here, if you are listening to my voice, your goal is to somehow, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I got one foot on the sidelines, Lord. You see me. I have got one foot on, but I'm ready, God. I'm ready. I'm ready. I got women around me. I got moms around me that are pulling me off. I got this really loud, obnoxious lady in my ear every week. She's calling me, stepping on my toes. But okay, God, I hear you. I'm ready. I want to accomplish something in these kids through. Use me. Use me. Use me. There's three things. I have a mantra for my kids. And I would love to tell you that I pray down heaven over every one of my kids every day. I don't. I don't. But there are three things I pray over my babies every day. And I don't just, in Jesus' name. Oh, no, no. I walk in their room when I'm making up their beds. When I'm wiping up some, you know, crumbs from the table. I'm driving to go get Sydney from softball. These are my three things. This is my goal. Now, I've got goals for all of them different, but these are my overall for my babies, my three R's, and you can take them as yours. I'm praying, God, I want you. My goal is for my kids to be repentful. When they sin, I want them found out. I want the sin in my camp found out so that I get to walk them back to repentance and righteousness, which is right standing with their God. And then God, I want them to be so radical, they walk into a room and people just get saved. I want it. I want it. That's my goal. That is my goal. And as a mom, there's no condemnation. Maybe you say, I've never ever thought about that, Joy. There is no condemnation in Jesus' name. Start today, as Nike says, just do it. Christina, Jessica, Amanda, those babies in your belly, start asking God, God, what do you want to accomplish in this baby that's not even out yet, but you have directed me to direct this baby to direct them to you? God, what do you want to accomplish through me to your baby? Because it's his baby anyway. They're not ours. They're not ours. What is the goal? Isn't it good to know that all the work you're doing is accomplishing something? Doesn't that make it just a little easier to put up with the whining? To know, God, I'm going to Moms with Swords. I'm in the Word. I want to burn, and I'm believing that it's accomplishing something, whether I see it or not. We'll get there in a second. I don't want to jump ahead. The next word is toil. Another word. Now, this one is extremely applicable to mothering. Properly strikes a blow that is so hard, it seriously weakens or debilitates. Anybody had childbirth? Deep fatigue. Anybody tired? You mamas holding those babies, you're tired. Extreme weariness. Now the word usage toil, this word usage, this toil, here it is what I told you earlier. I busted myself out. I about literally dropped my pants when I read this because I wrote this in the summer and I just started teaching it yesterday. This word toil is found in Matthew 26:10. When the woman, the Bible says, in the account in Luke, the Bible calls her the sinful woman. Have anybody labeled the sinful children? Y'all, my daughter told me the other day, she said, Mom, so-and-so doesn't want to hang around with the the kids that make really bad choices, and then the good kids don't want to hang out with him. Anybody been labeled sinful? This woman was. But you see, the Pharisees didn't know the cost. They didn't understand what Jesus had done for her. And so this toil, this work, this alabaster box that she broke, that the Pharisees were so enraged over, you could have sold it and given the money away. Are you kidding me? Jesus said her toil, it's noted by Jesus as a beautiful work to me. Mom, can I tell you once again, the work and the toil is a beautiful work to your Savior. It is a beautiful work to your Savior. God told me yesterday there was somebody that was coming today that is believing the lie that the work they're doing is meaningless. They might as well get on the sidelines because it doesn't matter. It's not changing. I'm reading the Bible. I am in the Word. I am doing devotion with my kids. I am praying. And God, nothing is changing. You don't see me, God. You don't care about this child. Let me expose the lie of the enemy to you today. God sees you. God is for you. Remember last week, Haggai, they obeyed the prophet. But it was not until Haggai spoke the words, "He is with you," that they got stirred up. Mom, today, let the fact that your God is for you in your journey, whether you are changing diapers, whether you are wiping snotty noses, whether you are parenting through a boyfriend situation, whether you are putting a baby off to college, God is with you. May that stir you up. May you know Isaiah 55:11 is true. It was true for the Israelites back then, and it is true for you. God's word will produce. It will accomplish everything that God sent it to accomplish. Hang on, Mama. Keep on working and toiling. Keep on working and toiling. God is doing something. It is not in vain. The Bible tells us that. It's not in vain. It says your work in the Lord is not in vain. And it's just that you, God said it was a beautiful act to him. Mothering, y'all, we know it is mandated from heaven that we are to mother. We are to direct in Genesis. We are to do that. So then therefore, God is for you. God is for you, Mom. If you hear nothing else I say today, God is for you, and he is accomplishing through you something in the hearts of your children. It's not in vain. But now listen, this is the part that we moms are so guilty of. I'm going to step on some toes, mine included. This part is what we miss, and it's the reason why Lisa Turkhurst has to write books called The Best Yes. The verse says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now these two words, vain, that word in the Greek is hence worthless, of no value. In the Lord, it is not worthless. Now, Lord, in the Lord, Lord is the Greek kurios, and that is a person exercising absolute ownership rights. An owner, a master. He is the master of Moms with Swords. He has complete ownership rights. I don't. Y'all don't. He does. In my home, he is absolute. He gets the final say. Now go over to Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. We're going to read it in the Amplified. I want to give you a picture of where I believe we moms, we get a little tripped up. We get a little tripped up. Everybody knows this story. I'm praying that after this teaching today, that we're going to go out of here, we're not going to be Martha. I get so tired of hearing, they are Martha, they are Martha. Can we just say in Jesus' name, I am going to be Mary. I'm going to be Mary. Because now listen, now while they were on their way, Jesus entered a village called Bethany, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who seated steadfast, her posture, she seated herself at the Lord's feet and was continually listening to his teaching. Now that could be a sermon for another day from women. But Martha, Joy, I put my name in there. Yes, I did yesterday as I was reading it. Was very busy and distracted with all of her serving responsibilities. My sister can attest. I don't sit down when you come to my house. I'm up, down. And she approached him and said, Lord, is it of no concern to you that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? I mean, don't you just hear it? That is such a woman. Tell her to help me and do her part. But the Lord, the master, the one that has the final say, replied to her, Martha, 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 Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. You are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen. It's a choice. Chosen the good part, that which is to her advantage, which will not be taken away from her. John 6, 38, this is Jesus saying, I haven't come from heaven to do what I want to do. I've come to do what the one who sent me wants me to do. Now, moms, can I say this? We are anemic, moms. Do you know what anemia does? Anemia takes the red, it's a depletion of red blood cells. And do you know what red blood cells contain? Oxygen. I believe we have moms who are anemic because they lack oxygen. They lack oxygen. Matthew 4, 14 says, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, rhema word, that proceeds out of his mouth. We got a lot of mamas doing a lot of things and a lot of good things. Now, a lot of good things. And all the while, they are depleting their body of the oxygen, the ruach, the breath of God, because they're not spending any time with their Lord, their master. The Bible says your work is not in vain in the Lord. Let me ask you, get your calendar on your phone, and by every activity, you say in the Lord. PTA president, in the Lord. Then okay. Room mom, in the Lord. Okay. But if it's not in the Lord, mama, it's going to cause you to be Martha. Martha missed the main feast because she was so busy fussing. Are you missing the main feast of your babies because you're so busy fussing about how inconvenienced, how weary, how tired you are? The Bible has already told you you're going to be tired. The Bible done told us. Fight the good fight of faith. This ain't lollipops and rainbows. Mothering is not bonbons and bravo. It is work and it is toil, which is why you got to line up your calendar within the Lord. Because if it's not in the Lord, you are depleting your body of the main course and your children are receiving the leftovers. Oh, stepping all over my toes. I'm so busy fussing that I'm missing the feast of my baby boy that's fixing to be 10. I have fussed so much about his complaining or me telling him what I ask him to do, and he comes back with the way he wants to do what I asked him to do, his version. And God said, stop fussing. Just keep working. Just keep toiling. And keep feasting on me, and you feast on this season, because this season is going to be gone just like that. It's not in vain if your master, if your Lord has told you to be the room mom, to work, to be the band chaperone, then listen, go do it in the Lord, because you know what it says? You're going to accomplish something. But mama, again, may I challenge you today, as I'm challenging myself, my calendar, everything beside it, in the Lord. Because in the Lord looks a lot different. PTA president, in the Lord, there may be that one fire hydrant that God's called you to. Band chaperone, there may be that one kid that doesn't have a mama that's nurturing, that God says, you're going to be that mama to that baby. But if it's not in the Lord, Lisa Turkhurst writes the best yes for those of us. Mothering is a non-negotiable. Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, again, it accomplished something, right? It accomplished something. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's the lie the enemy wants to tell you. It's not. Yes, it is. We've dispelled that lie today. That word train, I love it. Again, digging. I dug for this. I dug it out. Dedicated, y'all. Dedicated. Are you a dedicated mama? Are you dedicated to that one? Knowing Jesus, loving like Jesus, it's mandated. It's our job. Listen, I have a sweet friend. I told her I was going to bust her out. My sweet friend Carly, we were walking the mountain one day, and she said, Joy, until like I came to Moms with Swords, I really thought it was the Christian school's responsibility. But now I know it's my privilege. Praise God. Praise God for a great supplement as a Christian school. Praise God for a great youth group. But mom, it is not their job. It is your job. You have been directed, Deuteronomy 6:7, you shall teach, impress them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you drive the minivan, and when you walk along the road, when you're walking down to the soccer field, when you lie down and when you get up, impress them. I love this. You know what this word impress means? To whet, W-H-E-T. You get to do that. The Christian school, I don't want you to do that for me. I want you to help me, come alongside me, but I want to be the one that whets my children's appetite with Jesus, because I am burning for a love and a desire for him. So my kids are like, oh gosh, I want that, I want that, I want that. It's not their job. It's not your church's job to whet the appetite. They are to come alongside. They are simply to be a supplement. You, mom. You are to teach your children. Anything else you do, anything, listen, Anything else that you do aside from that better be downloaded to you by your Lord and your Master. Line it up. My first and foremost job is this, is Proverbs 22:6. That is my job. Now, of course, again, you know your husband, that he's going to come alongside of you, of course. But I'm speaking real simple right now. It is your job, Mom. Anything else, you better have permission by your Lord and Savior. I want to feast on every season of mothering. I really do. And mine is going, I think, Rebecca, you know this. I think because I am fixing to have, like, give the keys to a girl. And I feel like I'm even more now just like, you know, I preach to y'all all the time, hold them loosely. And y'all, my hands, I'm going like this. On Sydney, I'm like, oh, no. You know, she got in the car with her boyfriend last night to go eat. And I'm like, can I ride in the back seat? I'm just going to send John William with him. He will report back, let me just tell you. I don't want to miss it, y'all. Man, some of the best talks that I have had with my daughter, some of the best talks I have with little Sophie Kate, who is like, Lord, love her. Just this little lock and key where Sydney's just like, Sophie Kate's like, I'm not going to tell you because I know you want me to tell you. But some of the best talks I have are when I drive them to school. And I'm fixing to not have one of mine in the car with me anymore. Did I feast on her, God? Did I feast on this time you gave me? Because I don't want to look back and regret that I snacked through the whole season just in order to survive. If it keeps you snacking, don't do it. You have roughly 18 years to achieve your goal. 18. There are mamas in this room that they've shot their arrows. They're out of the house. Go ask one of them. They'll tell you. Treasure it. Savor it. Every inconvenience, every sleepless night, every emotional breakdown over stuff that does not matter and will not matter in 10 years, treasure it. Feast on it. And if there's anything, even any good thing cutting in and hindering your goal, get it out. Get it out. Because we don't need to add work to our work. I'm real good about knowing my capacity. Room mom, nope. The person that is in charge of planning the party, nope. Nope, that's not me. I love my friends that are able to do that. You boss me. Boss me. Middle child, just tell me what to do. Some of you, I need to throw up my personality on you, okay? Some of you that are just like, I'll do it, which is amazing, because listen, we need you at Moms of Swords. If you're like that, come see Alicia, because we need you. But listen, only if it's in the Lord. Only if it's in the Lord's. That is the first step in making us immovable mamas. If we know what to say yes to and we know what to say no to, would you stand up and let's pray? God, I thank you, Lord, for this word that has gone forth. God, now do your work. The scalpel that your word is, God, go to those places, Lord, to those spots in our hearts, God, that this word cut in, it cut. Because we're sitting here miserable in this season of mother. We're not enjoying it. God, would you allow your word, because you are so loving, would you just allow your word to go to that place as a gentle reminder, Lord. There's no condemnation. Your word, if that is in any ears, God, I just call it out. There is no condemnation. Your word is life. Your word brings life. God, your word is to awaken and stir, not to condemn. So, devil, I bind you from every ear in the name of Jesus. Moms, hear your father say, I am well pleased with you, whether you do anything or not. I just love you. Hear your father say, you don't have to do anything. I am so enthralled by you. You don't have to do anything. But I have called you to do some things. And I have called you to dedicate your time to train up those babies that I have given to you, because they're for my glory and they're for my generations to come. They are to make my name famous. So I do need you, Mom. I need you, Mom. I need you to let me strike a match to those places that are not burning. Ooh, I feel that strong. God is saying, let me take the match to those places that are not burning. Would you let me? Because those are the places that are keeping you anemic. I want to supply oxygen to those places. Would you let me? Holy Spirit, you are welcome to do your work. Because you love us so much, we say yes to you. Now, I want the prayer leaders to go in the back, and I do want to offer some space. And if you'll just turn the music up just a little bit when they go. If you need prayer this morning, if you are one of those people that the Holy Spirit is saying, let me light the match to those places that are not burning, I want you to go find somebody or even kneel in your pew. Just go to your father. You don't have to necessarily go to somebody. But I want you to, I just want us to take a little bit of time before we go to our prayer groups. The Holy Spirit will release us when He's ready. Holy Spirit, do your work right now. And moms, you go or kneel or sit or turn to your neighbor and confess some things, talk some things out. That's what this community of moms is for. Confess your faults to one another so that you may be healed. There's no condemnation. Just say, I'm struggling because I am not feasting. I'm fussing. Whatever you need to do, let the Holy Spirit have His way. And then we'll go to our prayer groups. God, have your way. For you are good and your faithful love does endure forever. In Jesus' name, amen.